Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 1035 FM. This is TCNT Movie Talk. We talk about movies in theaters this week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, movies out this week 10 years ago, movies out this week 20 years ago, whatever else we decide to talk about. We've got John Justice.
Hi.
Comedian Brian Miller.
That's me.
And Drew Lee.
Hello.
And I'm Sam. Let's talk about movies.
Before we get into it, real quick, because this just reminded me, we're in this phase right now where all the movie trailers have some classic song attached to it, right?
Usually a cover version of it that's either slowed down or super heavy.
There's a trailer that dropped yesterday that's using it just and hearing Come Together, and we'll get to this in just a moment. There's a trailer that dropped yesterday that's using Smashing Pumpkins' Bullet with the Butterfly Wings. Mm. Do you guys remember the video game, Sam? I know you probably won't, but do you, Drew and Brian Miller? You guys remember the game Rampage?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Is it the trailer for Rampage?
Yeah, so the trailer...
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
It looks really good.
I had a feeling that was going to...
They struck a tone with it.
Yeah.
Like, at least in the trailer, surprisingly, they nailed it.
Nice.
And I was like...
I loved that game. That game was so dumb.
You couldn't lose.
No.
It was impossible to lose. You just punch buildings
and... Beat the crap out of buildings and eat
people. Yeah, and you'd get a little energy, and they'd make the funny face, and you'd chew on the people. And remember, it took like 3 hours to beat, though. Like, you really had to dedicate... It wasn't hard, but you're just like, all right, I've got half a lifetime to kill.
So it's got Dwayne Johnson, and then the guy, I can't remember his name, he's in Walking Dead. He was also in Watchmen. He played the comedian.
Oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Right, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And it's so, and I'm almost done, Sam. When you see it, it's really strange because it strikes this very serious tone, but yet still has this, okay, I'm totally with you, sort of fun vibe about it. So anyways, the hearing Come Together because of the movies coming out this weekend and that being used in the trailer reminded me of all of this. Now it all makes sense. Sam, please.
Well, movies in theaters this week, we have Justice League, The Star, and Wonder.
I'll mention Wonder just real quick because that's the Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts with the kid who's got the facial deformity.
Yeah, but it's based on a really popular young adult novel.
Right.
I think I bought it for my niece a couple years ago.
Not going to go to the theaters to see it, but I am. The trailer looks interesting. Looks like a crier.
Yeah, that's a perfect like Netflix movie.
Yeah,
you know, like it's not a visual spectacle, but you're like, all right, I'll watch that when it's on TV.
Of course, the big one's going to be Justice League. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I heard that it's fun. I've heard that it's the better of the DCEU movies, and not as good as Wonder Woman, but it's getting kind of... The reviews are, I liked it. It was fun. You know, the expectation for DCEU movies now is so low that, you know...
Yeah, and that's me going into it as well. I don't know if I'm going to see it this weekend or not. Probably will. I'm sure I'll end up seeing it in the theater eventually, but honestly, I mean... I have not gotten excited for this movie. I've seen all the trailers. I've seen all the previews. There's just nothing about it that really excites me, and I blame that on how crappy most of the DC Universe movies have been.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like saying, like, if Old Country Buffet made an okay steak, it'd be like, this steak's okay. It's like, yeah, it's because the last ones were so bad.
Right.
I think there's two problems. I finally figured out one of the reasons I don't like these DC movies is they don't seem to be set anywhere. All the backgrounds are green screened. There's no depth. Everything looks like it's taking place in front of just some sort of giant glowing painting. And I have a hard time feeling like anything's set anywhere. And I've heard the villain in this is truly garbage.
Yeah, unfortunately, I am actually going to see it here in a matter of hours. I'm actually legitimately looking forward to it. I'm very curious about The Flash. He looks like he's the most fun part of it. But I am going in with the expectation that we're going to get big, ridiculous CGI villain and a blue light at the end and insurmountable odds that they'll somehow figure out in the world ending that once again being threatened. So I'm... That's where my head is going into it, but I'm looking forward to having fun. Sam, how about you?
I really, really, really want to see Justice League. I really liked Wonder Woman. I really love Gal Gadot. I have hope. And I like Henry Cavill as Superman. And so I think that it'll be decent. I think that The Star needs to get a little love, or the animated movie. I think it looks cute. I think it looks really cute.
Do you have a synopsis?
I do, actually.
Oh, she's excited.
I do. A small but brave donkey named Bo yearns for life beyond his daily grind at the village mill. One day he finds the courage to break free and finally goes on the adventure of his dreams.
Does he have a loom?
I don't know.
Isn't that what you do in a mill?
It's not in the
synopsis. I thought that was a reference to my Luddite bit.
It is.
On his journey, he teams up with Ruth, a lovable sheep who has lost her flock, and Dave, a dove with lofty aspirations. Along with three wisecracking camels and some eccentric stable animals, Bo and his new friends follow the star and become accidental heroes in the greatest story ever told. First Christmas.
This is classic. Like, this is like when someone tells you you're going to have fun and then you realize it's a Sunday school thing. You know? You're like, oh, I thought this was going to be fun. It's Sunday school. Oh, no.
Oprah plays some character named Deborah.
It's kind of a bit of a, not to say buzz about it, but actually is getting a little bit of attention, especially with what's in the box office this weekend. I think it's going to fill the hole for a lot of families.
Smart counter program.
Yeah, absolutely. Have any of you seen the teaser trailer for Deadpool 2?
I haven't seen it, but I want to watch it. I heard it's very funny.
We should stop the show. I want to watch this.
I was very disappointed.
Really?
They're doing a viral marketing campaign thing again. So you only get real quick snapshots in the middle of it of the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's all centered around Deadpool playing Bob Ross, the painter.
Oh yeah, I saw a still image.
Is it something that would work for me to like play here because I could just play it?
No, there's a lot of language.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, actually, now that I think about it, really don't play it.
Okay, just kidding. Okay.
That's what people say about my CD.
A lot of reasons.
Oh, yeah, definitely not going to play it.
So there you go.
Okay, check it out.
You guys watch it, and maybe I'm off base. Maybe it's because I was watching it with Melinda and then ends up tainting my views a lot of times because I'm worried about whether or not she's going to think it's funny, and I would have found it funny if she wasn't there. But I didn't find it very amusing, and it felt like they were trying too hard. So I'm curious to see what you guys think.
I think that's a fun movie, but I think people overlook the times in that movie that they do try too hard, and that some of the jokes in Deadpool fall flat.
Yep.
There are some terrible misses in that movie.
Fan of that movie, really enjoyed it. Yep. I've rewatched it a couple times at least, and I'm sure I'll rewatch it again at some point. But you're right. I mean, it's not as funny as probably they wanted it to be or as a lot of people made it out to be.
Yeah,
it's
I liked it too.
A really fun movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, but woof, boy.
Yeah, reading the description for it, I thought, okay, it's weird.
My favorite part of Deadpool was Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Uh-huh.
I like her, and she's in this.
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah, I like
her
a ton.
I love the dynamic between Colossus and her and Deadpool. That was a really fun little trio and dynamic. That was good.
Yeah.
DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. We have Atomic Blonde and Wind River.
I think Wind River looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's one that I missed in the theater. That's one I'm very excited to see catch on DVD that I was like right on the...
I don't remember that movie at all.
So
I'm going to make a call for a synopsis.
I got it.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead and go with the, since we're on Wind River.
We might as well just let Brian's... Brian's description of it would probably be better.
I don't... I'm checking to see if this is the one I think it is.
Sam, hit us upside the head with this nonsense.
Taylor Sheridan?
I got you. Yep. Corey Lambert is a wildlife officer who finds the body of an 18-year-old woman. I shouldn't say this in such a cheery voice.
You want to start over?
Yes.
It's fiction. It's okay.
Corey Lambert. He's a wildlife officer who found the body of an 18-year-old woman on an American Indian reservation in snowy Wyoming. When the autopsy reveals that she was raped, FBI agent Jane Banner arrives to investigate. Teaming up with Lambert as a guide, the duo soon find that their lives are in danger while trying to solve the mystery of the teen's death.
Hmm. It's directed by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote Hell or High Water.
Oh yeah,
which I really liked.
Yeah, actually, kind of
a good movie.
Yeah, and I want to say he might have written Sicario as well. But
I'd love to see that.
He definitely wrote Hell or High Water.
You haven't seen Sicario?
No. Sicario's real good.
I bought the Blu-ray the other day. I've already seen it, but I still could just.
It's real good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Where do you keep all your Blu-rays?
In a rack.
Do you have a whole room
near my
dedicated
near
you
my
go
heart.
All the way to a rack to get.
You've seen.
Jeez,
that was a great pun. I normally do not support puns, but I am thoroughly behind that pun.
You need a whole country to store them. Why would you put them in a war-torn one?
John's flying over there just so he can go get Air Buddies 3 or whatever.
Max.
Sam, you've seen my collection. I've shown you my collection.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're a host of
that's
lies.
Why we had to, that's why we had to depose Hussein.
That was
Neon needed room for his Blu-rays.
All the DVDs are hidden in those statues.
I need another rack because I'm running out of space. Be that as it may.
Do you mean a shelf?
Well, it's a rack.
Yes. It's a shelf.
It's a shelf.
What are you calling it a rack?
Okay, well, oh,
it's a credenza, Sam.
Now
does that make you feel better?
Now you've seen it to correct that rack or shelf. It's my Blu-ray DVD rack. Shelf. True story. Sitting down watching TV this week with Melinda, and we were going over recent movies and talking about them. She goes, we saw something last weekend. What did we see? It was new. I go, yeah, what did we? We were racking our brains. Couldn't figure out what
shelfing
we
your
saw.
Brains. You were shelfing your brains.
And then finally I had to go look at new movies to be reminded as, oh, it was Atomic Blonde.
Yeah,
because I'd seen it about 4 days prior, and it was that forgettable.
Yeah, but it's not bad.
No, not bad.
It's just in and out.
The action scenes were a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. James McAvoy made the movie for me because her character was, apart from when she was fighting, was incredibly bland. Mm-hmm. She didn't really do anything with it. I mean, it's part of the nature of what she was supposed to be.
The edgiest thing about her looks to be her hair.
Yeah.
She looks great. And she fights really well. I mean,
music was fantastic.
Music's great. They want to keep her character mysterious up to the end, which means you basically have no one to follow through the whole movie.
Yeah.
It was like a casualty of them trying to be mysterious.
I hate that. People are using more and more characters with like zero personality as like a tool to just make their jobs easier, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that way they seem mysterious. They have zero. There's a couple shows recently, and I'm drawing a blank on the name because I only watched like three episodes of it. And it was a cable show that got a lot of hype. But the lead character is this female that is just. You know, every negative criticism you would give of Kristen Stewart, her Twilight's character, is her. Mm. I mean, she's just no facial expressions,
sure.
No personality. And it's like, are you just doing this so that we can sort of fill in the blanks on our own? Or is there a point to this?
Well, and the mistake they made with Charlize Theron in Atomic Blonde was that, like, when you compare it to John Wick, like, John Wick, now his character's a little bit better, but he's pretty bland. But you gave him motivation.
Right.
You do what they do in that movie, and then suddenly now you're on the ride with him. I don't care, emotionless or not, you just want to go see him kill people. And there was no motivation behind Charlize Theron's character.
Because it's one of those spy movies, you never know what side she's on exactly. So you're like, well, what outcome am I hoping for this whole time? You never really know. I'm not a big fan of spy movies for that reason, because the motivation tends to be secretive. Necessary to the plot. Mm-hmm. So unless you just love watching these detailed plot machinations, oh, I thought he was good and he's bad, there's not much to hold on to.
Movies out this week 10 years ago, Fred Claus, Lions for Lambs,
ooh,
No Country for Old Men.
Wow. No Country for Old Men. I'm not a big... That's Coen Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been a big Coen Brothers fan. I heard a lot about that movie, and it was one of those films where it's different, the ending's different, but I remember finishing it, and then it stuck with me.
It's
I was
an
like,
impactful movie.
Yeah, it stuck with me, and I wanted to go back and watch it again for that reason. And my first time I was introduced to Javier Bardem, and I like him quite a bit.
He's awesome. Yeah, it is an impactful movie. Only saw it once.
Really?
Liked it. And for some reason, it's one of those movies, like, in the back of my head, I've always wanted to go back and watch again, and I never have gotten around to it. So my memory of it is probably a little hazy. But I remember really enjoying it and really being you walk away with feelings.
Yeah.
from that movie.
It gives you feelings.
Yeah.
Cormac McCarthy is one of my favorite writers of all time. The Coen brothers are two of my favorite directors of all time.
They're great.
You put them together, I couldn't be happier. I love that movie. Highly recommend watching it again. Now, real quick, though, Lions for Lambs. I don't know if you guys saw this. Truly one of the worst movies of the last couple decades. And the kind of movie that made me want to vote Democrat less just because it was so damn whiny and self-satisfied. It's awful. It is truly one of the most revolting movies I've ever. And it's just because it's just a big pile of bleh. Good for you. You patting yourself on the back.
Sam, before I go on a rant, have you seen any of these? Did they interest you at all?
Yeah, so I have not seen or heard of Lions for Lambs or No Country for Old Men, but 12-year-old me loved Fred Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I seem to remember, I don't think I saw Fred Claus.
It's Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn movie where he's Santa Claus's brother.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually like fascinated by that story.
I seem to remember hearing good things about that movie.
By the way, I really liked it,
but I was 12.
So. How do you have Vince Vaughn in a movie about Santa and it's not called Santa Baby? Santa Baby, Baby Santa. That's the only thing he ever says. He's got like five words in his vocabulary.
James Brolin is Non Country Roman, right?
Josh Brolin.
Yeah. I really like him a lot.
Yep, he's great.
Saw him again in Sicario. Saw the Granite Mountain Hot Shots movie. He's fantastic in that. He is one of those actors now where I will probably seek out films that I more than likely, if I wasn't interested in it, we'll go see it because of him.
True Grit.
Oh, yeah.
He was really
good. He's good in everything.
I still haven't seen True Grit.
True Grit's great.
You've got to see the version of True Grit. Yeah.
It's a shame that Jonah Hex was terrible because he is a great Jonah Hex. Like, an idea of a Western with horror, an action horror Western with James Brolin should be awesome.
Josh Brolin was on the Nerdist podcast.
It's
over a year ago.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's really good.
He comes off. Like, just, I want to hang out with him. He seems so cool, so laid back, really good perspective on who he is, where he is, what he does. Just really, really likable.
That one reminded me quite a bit of the Ethan Hawke one.
Because
Ethan Hawke came off very much the same way. Knows his place in life, knows his place in the industry, has a very good sense of self-worth. Brolin plays a Cable in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, so he looks fantastic in the stills that you see.
So yep.
I'm excited.
My mic wasn't on. Movies out this week 20 years ago. We had Anastasia, The Jackal, and Kiss or Kill.
The Jackal.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis.
Jack Black's right arm. That's all I think about of that movie.
Yeah. There was The Jackal, and then he had another one that was just like it. And I can't remember which one it was, right around the same time. He
Mercury
did a series.
Mercury Rising?
No, Mercury Rising was
different.
No,
I'm
sorry.
Bruce Willis.
No, it was Mercury Rising. Yeah. I was getting it confused with the Keanu Reeves right around the same time, Chain Reaction.
Chain Reaction, yeah.
The Jackal, Mercury Rising, and Chain Reaction kind of all fit into that same category of weirdness, you know, movies.
Yep.
But yeah, I enjoyed that. And Anastasia? How do you say it, Sam? How did you say it?
Anastasia. I don't know if it would be Anastasia. Anastasia.
Fox. That's the Fox Animation. Don Bluth. Really, and Meg Ryan did the voice in it. And for animated film 2D, it's good.
Was that not a Disney movie?
No, it was Fox.
Okay. It was kind of Disney style looking, wasn't it?
Yes, very much.
Okay. I was like... Because I actually grew up loving this movie. This was one of those movies, you know, when little kids will, like, obsessively watch one movie forever? That was me with this movie and, like, The Little Mermaid.
I did that with The Sorrow and the Pity when I was a kid. Just couldn't get enough. Sit me down in front of that for 9-10 hours, just happy as a clam.
I love this movie. And I haven't seen it in forever, but I watched it so many times, I still remember every part of it.
Any of these, Drew?
Never saw them.
No.
You never saw The Jackal?
Nope.
You never saw
it's a good bad movie.
Nope. Never saw any of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Would this have been like when your kids were younger time?
Yeah. Well, 20 years ago, yeah.
Well, my daughter would have. They should have seen Anastasia.
Well, my daughter was probably too young to care about that at that point. That would have been. She was less than one.
I was two.
No, she would have been one. So yeah, it was a little bit early for her and certainly didn't interest me, so no.
What were your when you were kids, what were your movies or TV shows, the movies that you watched over and over and over? Star Wars, I'm assuming? John?
Yeah, but I was a kid if you go like animation. Secret of Nim was big with me when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, Watership Down.
Oh, really? That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I got an odd one too, because this was my parents had a Betamax. Right.
Ooh.
And we only had like two movies, you know, we would just record TV shows on it all the time. But one of the movies that we have that I loved that I saw, I can't tell you how many times and I watched it recently and still enjoyed it. The Wanderers.
Hmm.
Anybody? The Wanderers?
No.
It's set in the 50s. It's these gangs that are all, you know, every gang has their own territory. Kind of like the Warriors.
Sure.
Set in the 50s. And they... You know, they're just sort of, it's a sort of coming of age thing, you know.
Kind of the Outsiders meets the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Really good. Yeah.
I watched Ghostbusters and Jaws a million times each as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen those movies a million times.
Ghostbusters is great.
It never gets old.
No. Holds up.
I think that it was like, for me, it was this movie, Anastasia, The Little Mermaid, and Hercules. I really loved Hercules.
We had, we had a lot of we had a lot of movies early on. We had bootlegs, oddly. I don't know how we got them.
Did you do the two VCR thing? My dad would set the two VCRs up. He'd rent the movie, and then you pop it in, and you dub it to the thing.
We had a copy of Empire Strikes Back on VHS as a bootleg before it was released. I don't know how he got it, right? I have no idea, but I remember watching it as a kid.
Probably got it in Iraq.
But I've told maybe. But I've told this story several times before on the show that, I mean, I was at a young age, I was weaned on so many of the John Hughes movies, mm-hmm. But my dad would edit them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, have I not told you the story before?
No.
Okay, so...
That's a cool thing to do, though, so you can watch movies.
So, Valley Girl, mm-hmm. Caddyshack, Animal House, okay. My dad went and edited all those films, so I watched them intensely as a kid.
Yeah.
Knew them backwards and forwards, and only later in life... Did I go see the regular versions? And it was like I was watching a bunch of special editions. I was like, where did all these scenes come from?
A bunch of very special editions.
Yeah, seriously. So, you know, I was at an early age, watched a bunch of those, but they were all very trimmed down, edited films. He just took everything out so we could go in and enjoy them.
My parents never bothered. I remember watching Animal House as a kid. Stripes was a big one. I watched that a ton when I was a kid. Loved that movie.
Real quick, since we had a few minutes left, Sam, did you want to bring the topic up, or you want me to go ahead and do it?
I'll let you take the helm here.
Did we talk last week about Rian Johnson and the new trilogy for Star Wars yet?
Yes.
Did we talk about what you guys want?
I don't remember if we talked about what we want.
I don't think we had time to really go too deep into it.
Yeah.
I think I have a new theory now. We found out that since last week. That apparently in making The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson, he was heavily involved with crafting the lore. Mm. So the books you see in the trailer and what we perceive is what Luke finds out about the original Jedi. I think he's going so far back that it's going to be like he's doing The Last Jedi. He may go back and actually do The First Jedi.
Oh, well, that's a pretty unexplored. So has that not been like... explained in the Star Wars universe at
all? This goes back before Old Republic stuff.
Right, that's what I mean. They've never kind of said where the Jedi come from other than the mitochondria or midichlorians.
So I'm really... That's where I think this whole thing is heading. And I think we're going to end up on this three-year off-on cycle. I think we're going to end up with...
Trilogy, anthology.
Yep. I think it's exactly what Disney's going to do.
I'm fine with the prequel as they go so far back that it's not like – I get tired of the thing where like, well, we know the destination this thing has to head up to. I get very – but like if you go that far back, you're like, I don't know. They can kind of do anything because it's so far in the future until we get Luke and all that stuff.
And I think that's what they're going to do. They're gonna take it so far because you can go back. If you go based off dialogue, the Sith were gone for a millennia, so about 1,000 years. You go way back and you establish everything from the beginning, and now you've just laid out a timeline that you can play in for decades to go and mess with. On just a quick comment, Rian Johnson to me is like Disney's George Lucas. I think they found somebody to replace George's vision apart from the story group in what Rian Johnson has accomplished, and I'm pretty sure that's why he turned down 9. They said, hey, you want to do 9? He's like, yeah, I could do 9. But what if I go and do this instead? And they went, okay.
Sure. It's like more of a commitment, really. Yeah. It's a bigger thing.
Yeah.
So we're so close.
I'm
so excited. No idea.
I can almost smell it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm still doing my Journey to the Force Awakens this weekend. It's Revenge of the Sith. I'm very excited.
So are you going to be doing that thing with your fingers when Star Wars comes out?
I don't know what that means.
Don't you?
I don't know.
Whatever you want it to be. It's like going to a Gallagher show.
Just for the sake of... I'm going to say no.
Just to never know.
With my fingers, no.
With my fingers, this is TCNT Movie Talk. Right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.